Dave Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you, as always, almost always, from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area, and, of course, streaming the show all across the beautiful USA and around the world as well. And thanks to everybody that sent all the great email yesterday. A lot going on today. Of course, we had the debate last night. We'll talk about that for a bit. The Michigan primary, no big deal there, I don't think. I think everybody pretty much knew how that one was going to come out, despite how wrong the pundits have been as of late. There were no surprises in the meat chicken primary. And, you know, I asked all of you folks last week whether or not we should continue on because a few people had voiced a bit of revulsion, said they were a bit put off by the few minutes of Republican love when we read the Republican love letters we get now and then. We're going to continue. I have to say this, the email was overwhelmingly in favor of continuing a few minutes of Republican love, so I have gathered up a few letters that we've gotten in the past few days, and we're going to do that today, a few minutes of Republican love, and the crowd goes wild. And, of course, I want you to join the program today. 866-546-5254. If you're listening on iTunes or Democrats.com or any of the places we have links all over the internet, join us at 866-546-5254. And if the phones don't just ring off the hook today, I'm going to put on music like old Pastor Gene Scott used to do out in L.A. I'm going to play Feelings for 2 hours. How would you like that? Feelings. Feelings. Da 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 da. Oh, I hate that song. And so there you go. Now, if that's your favorite song, you're not intimidated one bit about my threat there. But I do expect you to call the program. And if you have one of those, call all you want to programs at home for free. Well, not actually for free, but give us a call at 941-876-6896. I do want to remind you once again that we will be coming to you from Washington, D.C. next week. We will be at the Health Action 2008 conference put on by the Families USA organization. Going to be interesting. We'll be doing that Thursday and Friday, by the way. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is going to be there, Blanche Lincoln, Ken Salazar, Tom Daschle, Representative John Lewis from Georgia. And one thing that got me excited about it, the Frost family, the family that had all the problems with the health care and then the Republicans attacking them here not long ago, they're going to be there. Governor Mark Warner from Virginia, CNN's Paul Begala, And a cast of thousands, including yours truly, going to be there for the Radio Row and the Bloggers Boulevard, they're calling it this year. So looking forward to being there next week. And I know you'll all tune in for that. We'll be doing a show for a couple of days about health issues facing us here in the good old U.S. of A. And I know you won't want to miss that. What else do we have on the list here today? I did want to mention briefly, you know, I used to get an email, and I've heard, I didn't notice this myself. That's how preoccupied I get sometimes. I had to have a friend remind me. A friend sent me an email the other day and said, hey, have you gotten any of the emails from the mailing list from the Department of Justice that used to come out every day or two? And they're so non-eventful, I didn't even think about it. And I don't remember how I got on the list. If I called and got on the list, I didn't call. But myself and a couple of other lefties I know evidently have been dropped from the daily Department of Justice emailing list. And along with the others, I've been highly critical of Alberto Gonzalez, as you know, and McCasey and the whole department in general. And you don't suppose that's the reason, do you, that have been dropped from the list? I did inquire as to why I'm not on the list anymore, and I've gotten nothing but the runaround. And it's okay, really. It was really dry, reading, and mostly lies anyway, defending the Department of Justice. But it just does seem odd that a small fish in a very big pond like me, perhaps they consider sharks. After all, I don't know. They just can't stand dissenting opinions. Hey, it's their loss. What do I care? The debate last night? Did you watch it? Come on, fess up. Did you watch the debate last night? I did. I said a while back I wasn't going to watch any more of the debates, and I, as usual, end up giving in and doing it. And I wonder how all of you feel when you hear a debate like last night, or even the Republican debates for that matter. Are you a fan of the debates? Do you watch them? Do you pay attention? Is it a sporting event to you? Are you like the press? You just want to see the gotcha moments? Are you watching intently to see your candidate, what they have to say? Are you looking at the comparison between the three that were there last night? Why are you watching the debates, and do you watch the debates? And one of the things I've gotten so tired of, and we hear this lofty rhetoric from all the candidates, and we hope that we can take it to the bank. You know what I mean? And a lot of people hate that when you say, you know what I mean? We hope that our candidate, the one that we like, will come through and work for us if they win, if they get in the White House, and if they get nominated and then get to the White House. And maybe, just maybe, our candidate, the one that we're backing, will have a profound influence on the direction of America in a positive way. One could argue that Junior Bush has had a profound influence on the United States of America. That is a fact. He has, in fact, had a profound influence. But we're hoping our candidate, if they make it to the White House, will have a profound influence in a positive way. We can hope, anyway. And I've admitted this before, but I want to reiterate, I don't like the cynicism that has taken me over. I've gotten to the point where sometimes all I hear when I watch a debate last night, like last night, is yada, yada, yada from every single one of them. And I've pretty much lost my trust in leadership for the most part. And I just really long for someone to take charge and really lead America to new heights. And I know it's possible. I know it's possible to regain the honor and the glory that this nation once enjoyed, and not so long ago. I know it is possible. And you know it's possible. and you think it's possible, or you wouldn't be listening to this program, you wouldn't give a damn about what's going on in the political arena today if you didn't think that that's possible and if you didn't care. I know that. The fact is that we don't need to wait for the South Carolina primary. We don't need to wait for the Florida primary or wait for Super Tuesday. We don't need to wait for November 4th or January 20th of next year. We can take it upon ourselves to start the process of bringing America back. And it doesn't matter who gets elected for us to do our part. Because if we don't get the leadership that we want, if we don't get the leadership we need, we can lead. And it's not too late for us to do that. We're not too far along in the process of this downhill slide. And I know you feel helpless now and then. I know there have been many transgressions against the people by the Bush administration that many of you have longed for our Congress to do something about, and they have not. But it's not too late to reverse that. And like most of you, I watch the prognosticators and the pundits on TV, and I want to think that they know what they're talking about. But as I'm sure most of you have discovered these past few months, most of them don't know a damn thing more than we do. In fact, I think most of the time somewhat less than we know, with their brain power anyway. One would think that being inside the Beltway, most of them would know what's going on. And oh my God, after listening to that and seeing that audio and video of Katie Couric that's being circulated all around the internet, on damnchannel.com? I was amazed. Amazed. If you haven't seen that, go to mydamnchannel.com and see these outtakes of Katie Couric talking about the New Hampshire primary last week. It turns out the woman doesn't know anything. And I'm not saying that because I don't like Katie Couric or anything like that. It's just, it positively appalls me that somebody, an anchor person of the nightly news on a company like the Columbia Broadcasting System, would be as ill-informed as Katie Couric showed herself to be in those outtakes. Anyway, that got me sidelined. But mydamnchannel.com, do take a moment and go take a look at that if you get a chance. But what I do know here is that we've got three very electable candidates running now that liberals, and dare I say that word that I hate, progressives, are very passionate about. And maybe the one you wanted to win in Iowa or in New Hampshire didn't come out on top. Mine didn't either. Hey, my favorite football team didn't win the national championship, but I still love them. And I still believe in the program. And politically, my favorite candidate is not a viable candidate anymore, so I need to focus my energy on one who can win. One who supports my position, or at least most of them. You're never going to get anybody that supports all of your positions. You're never going to be 100% in agreement with any politician. If one of them says they're in 100% agreement with you, look out. I remember once in my youth, I wrote in the name of Ted Kennedy for president when he dropped out of the race. I know a lot of people do things like that. And it made me feel good as a young liberal, but that throwaway vote accomplished nothing. I felt good about it. Thought I stood up for my principles, but I learned from it. So do the right thing. We've got three great candidates, we do, and you may not agree with much of what one or the other of them thinks, but you do think of the alternative. And one thing that I wanted to mention to everybody today as well is that I think that many of us get caught up in the national elections and we tend to forget sometimes the local scene. Local Democrats need to be supported with your dollars and your physical efforts as well. whether it's walking precincts, hauling people to the polls, whatever. And in a general election year, like this one coming up, they have difficulty raising money and getting volunteers because the national election sucks up all of both of those things. They say national elections suck all the air out of the room when it's national time. Local elections are really important. Really important. So don't forget them. And it doesn't make any difference if you're starting at city councilman to congressman to senator. More often than not, these are the people you can call when you want some action. These are the people who have got to listen to you, or they should anyway. You can call your congressman's office. And usually you can arrange to visit your congressman. I have many times. Try getting in to see the president. My point is, don't forget about local politics. And don't forget who you can count on to make a difference. And I think the operative word there is who you can count on. You know who you can count on? You can count on you. Chris Matthews and Wolf Blitzer and Keith Olbermann and Karl Rove and the campaign managers, none of them really make any kind of real difference in this whole thing. It's you. It's me. It's us that makes a difference. And in whatever small way you can, work to make a difference. And I don't care if it's your neighbor running for dog catcher and you approve of him running. Get out there and get involved. Help out. Don't sit by the TV and the radio and your computer and bitch about things when you haven't done anything about it yourself. And besides all of that, when you've been part of the battle, win or lose, it feels good. It's satisfying to know you at least put your money or your physical efforts where your mouth is. It is satisfying. If you've never done it, try it. You'll like it. I know you will. Get out and join your Democratic Club. If you don't like the way your Democratic Club, local Democratic Club, is run, get involved. Help change it to what you think it ought to be. Just don't forget the local politics. I'm just saying. 866-546-5254. I watched the debate closely last night. And from the email I got, many of you did as well. And by far, the biggest losers of the night were Timmy Russert and Brian Williams. They were so disappointed that they couldn't get a good old-fashioned racial argument going between Clinton and Obama. And you could just see the frustration on their faces when both of those candidates just very graciously backed away from that controversy, which you know and I know the media manufactured out of whole cloth anyway. And Timmy and Williams, they just acted like little kids who'd rehearsed their lines for the school play and screwed them up. They just acted. I hate the fact that they have them doing this. Hillary and Barack simply refuse to play the game and bully for them, as far as I'm concerned. And besides, who the hell ever made Timmy Russert the grand inquisitor of these debates anyway? Frankly, I can't stand the sight of the guy anymore. He's front and center in these debates like he's the grand poobah of all debates, and that his word is, well, it comes down from on high. Timmy Russert asked the question, therefore it must be legitimate. And Timmy Russert's opinion matters over all we mortals. You know, the questions aren't about policy. His questions aren't about positions. They're all about gotcha. Look at me, I gotcha. I'm Timmy Russert, son of Big Russ. Just can't stand the guy anymore. Can't stand him. And thank God, you know, I do watch MSNBC somewhat, if I have to choose between the channels, and there's, you know, I like Keith. I like Dan Abrams sometimes. I don't like Tweety Bird. He's gone off the deep end. But what is this thing with Timmy Russert? I don't know. 866-546-5254. Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
This is Alice Pitlin.
Hi, Alice.
Been a while, been quite a while since we talked.
Yeah.
I thought I would. My main concern is that today's Republicans lie and cheat. I'm really afraid of what they are doing with those voting machines.
Well, I think, Alice, this time around, I hope everybody at least is going to keep a close eye on that. And, of course, many places around the country, they've gone to paper ballots.
Yeah.
At least that's a start. And people like you and people like me and going to be watching them pretty closely. So I hope they think twice before they try anything. I certainly know here in Florida we've got a lot of people solicited to help watch that situation, and we've got a lot of technical experts keeping an eye on the situation. I bet you, Alice, that you're probably in favor of going back to all paper ballots and having them counted by hand, aren't you?
Yep.
I am, too.
Well, it's going to be a tough fight.
It is. It's going to be a tough fight. And you know, Alice, we've got to... Everybody in the media now has got to have everything right this minute. And don't you think all the voters could wait until the middle of the night to find out if they counted them all by hand, or maybe even till the next morning? Count them by hand. And
yeah.
We'll wait. And that way we'll know. We have the precinct watchers and the poll watchers and all. We'll know what's on us. We'll wait till the next morning, won't we?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't have to know that MSNBC or Fox or any of them has declared so-and-so the winner an hour after the polls closed. I don't have to know that, and I bet you don't either.
No, I don't. I don't want to either.
No.
I want the real McCoy.
That's right. That's right. And wait till the next day. Wait till the Board of Elections can certify it as having been counted by hand and recounted if there's any discrepancies. I don't see a problem in the world with that. And I could be wrong. I'm thinking that Australia still does it by hand. I'm even thinking that Germany still does it by hand. And we've got a lot of voters here, but we've also got a lot of people that work at the polls. We can count those things. They need to take those voting machines outside and use them for boat anchors or something.
Yeah.
Alice, thanks for your call. So good to hear from you.
Yes, it's good to hear from you, too.
Thank you, Alice. Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
Why are we in such a god-awful hurry to get the election results? It's just the way we are, isn't it? We just can't wait. You know, the people at the networks, they're sitting there frothing at the mouth to put that little check mark up there and to be first. MSNBC has called the election for Joe Blow with 7% of the vote in. They just can't wait. And, of course, you know, out comes their ads the next day and the following week and the following season. We were first to call the election, bringing you comprehensive political news. We were first. I don't give a damn if you were first. Be right. First and foremost, be right, and know that what you're broadcasting out over the public airwaves, I might add, know that it is fact. That's what I care about. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you will will join us. What did you think of the debate last night? Did you think Hillary looked good? Did you think John Edwards looked good? Are you really pissed off about Dennis Kucinich not being in it? Or do you think... And what would be the value of Dennis being in it now? What do you think? Who knows? Well, let's head back on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
I did see the last part of it. I didn't see the first part. But I did want to say something about dear old Tim.
Yes, Timmy.
You remember the second run of Jeb?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the three debates. He and McBride had three debates. And the I believe the first one was the radio station that nobody could get.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was a debate somewhere where nobody could see it.
Right.
And the third one was on local cable. And I did see that one.
Yeah, I
did. And guess who was the moderator?
Oh, yes.
Good old Tim.
To those of you around the country that didn't get to see us, the gubernatorial election before last, not the last one, but the one before that. When the Jebster was running against McBride,
right?
Why they shipped in old Timmy to be the
uh-huh.
and did he do a hatchet job on McBride?
Oh, didn't he look at him like he could kill him? Like he was the most. But McBride did pretty good. The only thing he flubbed up on one thing, and then that's all he showed for a soundbite after that was his flub. But he gave some pretty good comebacks. But I never will forget Tim Russert, how he did. And it just, if I hadn't been turned off before, that definitely turned me off of him.
It actually was so bad, it looked like a setup, didn't it?
It sure did. And Jeb's family, his mama and daddy was there. Mommy and daddy.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Oh, yes. A family thing here in Florida.
Yeah. And I don't think I like him then, but I noticed he's always like you said, gotcha. If it's a Democrat, if it's a Republican, oh, he's just all sweetness and light most of the time.
Sure. It's all about him. It's all about the moderators. I don't think they really care that much so long as they end up looking good. It's like, hey, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I got this guy. You know, I nailed McBride to the wall.
Well, don't you think that the night of the election that Jeb took over really early and it's like that he knew it was going to happen? I feel that way.
Well, it was inevitable in that race. And let's face it, McBride wasn't the strongest candidate we could have had. And, we're in a mess here in Florida, aren't we? And we've got a new Republican governor that has a great deal of popularity right now. I don't understand why.
I think he's trying a little bit better than Jeb. I don't know.
At least he's talking a better game. He says he's going to do something about the insurance and the taxes. But so far, nothing has happened.
Today, did you hear they banned Allstate from writing any more?
Really?
Policies?
No, I hadn't seen that yet.
And he spoke on that, and I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard the soundbite. But he just said that they had been asking for some kind of papers, and he said they must have something to hide because they won't give them to them.
Hmm.
I thought it must be somebody else has something to hide up in Washington.
Well, the insurance companies in Florida have got plenty to hide. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're trying
to. That's Allstate. But I don't know what good it's going to do, you know.
I got a kick out of the state insurance guy saying they're going to have these hearings for people around the country who are getting raped on insurance. He said, if we're going to talk to the State Farm people, I want the CEO of State Farm. And if we're going to have Geico, I want the Gecko to be here.
Yes.
Hey, your phone's cutting out on me there.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Winnie.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yes, we're going to have hearings in Florida on insurance. The insurance industry just absolutely robbing people here. I mean, if I showed you premiums, I swear, many of you around the country, you wouldn't believe me. You would not believe me, if I showed you insurance here. Yes, we are along the Gulf Coast, okay? Yes, we had quite a bit of damage from hurricanes not long ago. And yes, the insurance company had gathered up how much money over how many years instead of salting enough of it away to pay damages that might happen in future. No, let's pay them babies out to the stockholders and we'll get rich and don't worry, we'll raise the premiums and fleece people when if something does happen. Sure enough, it did, and they've stuck it to us. Yeah, it's grab the ankles time here in Florida as far as insurance is concerned. We're going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't you dare go away.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Ah, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here on the Horn Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
This is Pete Seeger. What country comes to mind when you hear this? The government illegally spies on civilians, produces phony news reports. People are imprisoned without charge or access to a lawyer. Prisoners are tortured and killed, and an illegal war launched on the basis of lies in which illegal weapons are used against civilians, against journalists, and hospitals. Unfortunately, the United States government is behind these actions. Fortunately, our Constitution has a remedy. It's called impeachment. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Please welcome Bright Eyes.
When the president talks to God, are the conversations brief or long? Does he ask to rape our women's rights and send poor farm kids off to die? Does God suggest an oil hike when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, are the consonants all hard or soft? Is he resolute all down the line? Is every issue black or white? Does what God say ever change his mind when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, does he fake that drawl or merely nod? Agree which convicts should be killed, where prisons should be built and filled? Which voter fraud must be concealed when the president talks to God? When the president talks to God, I wonder which one plays the better cop. We should find some jobs, the ghetto's broke. No, they're lazy, George. I say we don't. Just give them more liquor stores and dirty coke. That's what God recommends. When the president talks to God, do they drink near beer and go play golf? While they pick which countries to invade, which Muslim souls still can be saved? I guess God just calls a spade when the president talks to God. Thank you. When the president talks to God, does he ever think that maybe he's not? That voice is just inside his head when he kneels next to the presidential bed. Does he ever smell his own... When the president talks to God, I doubt it. I doubt it. Phil Mishmish.
Back with you here in the Guy James Show this Wednesday afternoon. Hope it's a beautiful day where you are. Hope it's warm, there's a breeze, and that the leaves are green, and there's no snow on the roads. I'm not rubbing it in. 866-546-5254. Give us a call. I want to threaten you one more time. If we don't have lots of calls today, we're going to put on music. We're going to put on feelings and play it all day long. We're going to play maybe some of the most horrendous music we can find anywhere. I'll contact Billy Shears. Say, Billy, send me the worst you can find if we don't have enough calls today. There, is that a proper enough threat? Are you shaking in your shoes? Thanks for joining us here on the Guy James Show today. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. About the debates last night, who impressed you? Anybody let you down? Are you an Edwards person? Did Edwards perform adequately for you? Do you think Hillary did a great job? Do you think Obama won? Who do you think scored points with the Nevada caucus voters coming up here? I thought all three were good. I did. I really appreciated the civility they had amongst themselves. I'm not one of these ones that like to see a big fight. I like to see them ask questions openly and honestly, and if they agree with one another, say so. And they did several times last night, and that just really pissed off Rustert and Williams in a big way when they agreed with things. They were really sad that they couldn't start a fight. And, you know, instead of asking questions that would really show the differences between the candidates' policies, they asked questions on which they all agreed. And I think we all knew that they would all agree with maybe some minor differences. And no one had a big faux pas last night. No one really got tripped up really badly. And I think we all know, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, except for the very craziest of the far right, the very craziest of the far right, we know that any thinking human being watching that last night, being as objective as you can be, unless you're a radical, ultra-radical right-winger, and deep in your heart of hearts you watched that debate last night, you know damn well any of those three candidates are head and shoulders above anybody over on the Republican side this year. I can't always say that over the years. But, man, there's never been a bigger disparity between the parties and the candidates than there is this year. I thought Hillary was impressive last night. I thought she was back on her game. Maybe the wrong word to use, but we are talking about politicians here, so game might be exactly the right word to use. I thought Obama, and let's face it, the guy is highly likable. Highly likable. His likability factor is off the charts. I love the guy. I think he's got great intentions. I believe he's honest and open. Maybe he's not quite got the experience of the other two. But love the guy. And if he ends up with the nomination, go for it, pal. I'm with you. John Edwards, hey, what can I say about John Edwards? I think John Edwards is, he may be too nice of a guy. If he's got a fault, that might be it. So Hillary and Obama and John Edwards, what did you think last night? I did dig up some totals. I've been wondering about money so far. And they did have a little bit of a squabble last night about raising money and about lobbyists and all that sort of thing. So I went out and looked up the numbers today. And, wow. So far, out of all the candidates on both sides of the aisle, Barack Obama has raised the most money. And it's virtually a dead heat between him and Hillary Clinton. Barack has raised $78,915,000, and Hillary's raised $78,507,000. So she's around $408,400 behind. Close, very close. The bundlers, you know how they bundle. They bundle the donations. Barack has had 356. Hillary's had 322. The lobbyist bundlers, Hillary leads the pack on the Democratic side. She's had 18. Obama's had 9. Now, Giuliani, in comparison with the other candidates, Obama and Clinton both with $78 million. Giuliani leads the pack with the Republicans. He has raised $44 million, $44.5 million, you might as well say, with 29 lobbyist bundlers. And the most, the guy that's dealt the most with the lobbyist bundlers happens to be a guy that was in on the McCain-Feingold deal, John McCain. He's got donations from lobbyist bundlers, 32 of them. And he's raised $30 million. Romney's raised almost 44, just a few dollars shy of $44 million. He and Giuliani are virtually in a dead heat. Edwards has raised only $29 million. Only. Thompson has raised $12.75 million. Ron Paul, for all the talk about all the money he's raised, has raised $8,200,000. Huckabee. Can this be? I almost thought this was a typo. This had to be printed before the Iowa caucus, or else they've been dead on their feet since and not raised any money. Huckabee, $2,300,000. Kucinich, $2,100,000. And Mike Gravel, $306,000. What have you done with $306,000, Mike? Has that been traveling expenses back and forth to the debates? I don't know. The ones you've been allowed to be in. So there you have it. $78 million apiece for the Clinton and Obama, Giuliani and Romney, $44 million. McCain, $30 million. Edwards, you might as well say $30 million. Thompson, $12 million. Paul, $8 million. Huckabee, $2 million. I don't know. It's a lot of money, don't you think? A lot of money to be used for politics. 866-546-5254. We've got a line open. We'll be happy to take your call if you give us a call. Going on about the press and the media and so forth, and we've talked a lot about that in the last couple of days, because it needs to be talked about. I think the press and the media, both print and electronic media, has done a woefully inadequate job of covering all of this. Not that they haven't had enough coverage, because God knows they've spent way more time on this than they needed to. God knows they've manufactured plenty of news, and they, you know, bulletins and this and that. It's in your face all the time. That's not the problem. I think we've got far more. We've got overkill on the hours that they put in on this. It's just the quality and the honesty and the integrity of the reporting that we've seen so far that I have a gripe with. And frankly, I've seen very little integrity involved. I do wish the press would take their, and the media would take their duties more seriously, their duty to the American people. It's just really sad the way they behave. It's about them. It's not about the candidates. It's not about the people. It's not about the country and what we need and what we expect from the candidates. It's about them. Who can come out first in the ratings? Who can have the most sensationalism about a story? Who can dig up the most dirt? Who can do the most damage to any one candidate? A la Chris Matthews against Hillary Clinton. He's certainly done his level best to try and destroy her candidacy. Am I being fair? I speak about that often, that Tweety Bird has gone after Hillary Clinton since the very beginning. Has there been anybody on the Republican side, you righties, do you think anybody has set out to destroy the candidacy of anybody on your side? I would argue that many on the right, your Limbaughs and your Hannitys, find the candidacy and the success of Huckabee to be totally abhorrent to what they believe. He is not a mainstream, hardcore conservative. He is a pitiful candidate, I will give you that, but he doesn't agree with the views of the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and those people, the lesser knowns like the Mike Gallaghers, those sort of people that prefer the hardcore righties. They're not all that enamored with John McCain either. Most of them are looking to Giuliani. Fred Thompson's a big favorite of many of them. But I think the media on the right has done a hatchet job on Huckabee, the huckster, as we affectionately call him on this program. But I just don't think they do a very good job. And you know, I know most of you have heard that Junior Bush is right now as unpopular as he has ever been. And as I have it, he's going to send a record here shortly because of his absolutely unbroken string of negative ratings by the U.S. public. And I'm sure most of you know, I certainly do, and I know you do as well. My audience is very astute politically. The Americans are not as easily fooled as most of the journalists are. And every day we have this propaganda from the administration shoved in our face. And I know you've heard a lot about it lately. And once again, we're seeing the results of the Democrats being chicken to debate the issue. Because lately we've seen so much from the press about the surge. And you know what I'm talking about here. The surge. During that New Hampshire debate, ABC New Hampshire debate, we had Charlie Gibson up there trying to get the Democrats to admit that they'd been completely wrong about the surge. Well, the surge is working now. The surge is working. It's working. And then we have asses like William Kristol in the New York Times talking about how great the surge is. Well, let me tell you, folks, there's plenty of evidence, and we'll talk about some of it later in the program today, plenty of evidence to show that the surge doesn't amount to a hill of beans. That we've got violence levels back to what they were in 2006, for example. That it has merely forestalled some of the violence. That the various camps in Iraq are sharpening their knives right now, waiting until an opportune moment to get at one and each other. The American public, 41% of Americans right now, 41% in a New York Times Monday poll, 41% say that our efforts in Iraq is going very well or fairly well. Now, the press would have you think that it's overwhelming, that everybody thinks, ooh, things have turned around. It's really good now. 54% say the situation in there is not going well. And just 32% of Americans approve the way Junior Bush is handling his job. 66% of the American public do not agree with the way Junior Bush is doing his job. He's failing on the economy. He shows no gain on Iraq. 64% of the people, 64% of the American people say the war was not worth fighting. So the question becomes, talking about the press and their duties to the American public and what they're supposed to do, what their job is supposed to do, is bring us the truth, bring us the facts. Why the BS from the press? Why are they so screwed up? You remember New Hampshire last week? The dismal truth about New Hampshire was this. Never has a New Hampshire primary received so much media attention and been covered so by so many journalists, you would have thought Britney Spears was there. And never has the press been so badly screwed up on a New Hampshire vote. So while one would think we're making progress in this day and age with the press, that we might more accurately, because of the coverage, be able to go out and cover a primary, that we might have a better grip on what is happening from exit polls and all the polling that they do ahead of time. How could they have been so wrong? They were so anxious to prove that we're there, we're giving you the facts, folks, we're showing you everything, and yet, how could they be so wrong? I don't know. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Giuliani, I have to laugh because, as you know, there's no more abomination of a candidate, unless it's Ron Paul, than Rudy Giuliani. From the very get-go, when I found out he was actually going to throw his hat in the ring, I was just horrified. I despise Rudy Giuliani. Just absolutely despise him. Now, I've said it, you know. If you personal attack, yes, I do not like Rudy Giuliani. I don't understand how anybody can. I don't understand how a Republican can support him with his flip-flopping that he's done. Flip-flopper second only to Romney, who's the champion flip-flopper of all time. But how can the media keep at it with this Rudy Giuliani? And I might be proven to be completely wrong over this come the 29th of January if Rudy takes Florida. But I don't understand, and somebody try and tell me where I'm going wrong here. I don't understand how the media can continue to shove Rudy in everybody's faces as some sort of a front runner with the results that he's been getting. Here we had Romney in Michigan yesterday with a rather decisive victory. He had 38.9%. We had McCain with 29.6%. I think both of those were pretty much on the mark. Those were pretty predictable. Huckabee, 16%. Yeah, about right. We had Ron Paul with 6%, 6.2%. Thompson at 3.7%. And Rudy Giuliani, 2.85%. Now, Giuliani and Thompson together got just a hair more than Ron Paul got. What does that say for Thompson and Giuliani? Oh, well, we didn't work very hard in Michigan. I don't know. Call me some sort of a political neophyte, which I don't think I am. Call me politically naive, which I don't think I am. What's Rudy Giuliani even still doing in this race? Come January 29th in the Florida primary, is just going to make me look like a monkey here? Am I going to be sitting here with Rudy Giuliani cleaning up in Florida and we're saying, oh my God, what happened? I'm seeing the ads. I'm seeing the Giuliani ads. He's spending a lot of money here on TV. Lot. And evidently he's got all his eggs in this basket. But, you know, Giuliani yesterday, he came in, what, sixth place? And he barely beat the uncommitted people. So I do have to wonder. I do have to wonder. In a race, you know, it's different if you've got uncommitted and you've got a two or three-person race. But when you've got, what, six people in it and you barely outpull the uncommitted, you got a problem. And how many of you saw that video with Sam Sater? Did you see that? I wish I had written down where I saw this. Sam Seder, yeah, I think if you Google Sam's name, you might come up with this. It's a video of Sam, and you all remember him from Air America. He's out interviewing people who supported Romney and Giuliani and McCain and Thompson and Huckleberry. And he asked each one of them. Each one of them was holding a sign, you know. He asked them, who you're supporting, and they were all adamant about their support. And Sam, this is dirty. Then he went back to them, and he asked each of them the question, apart from one another, so they couldn't see what was going on here. He asked the same people who just swore by their individual candidates, of Romney, Giuliani, McCain, Thompson, and Huckleberry, if Ronald Reagan were still alive, would you vote for him, or would you vote for your present-day candidate? And every one of them said that they'd vote for Reagan. Every one of them. Except the Ron Paul supporters, of course. So that goes to show you that 5 out of 6 people in the Republican Party would rather vote for a dead guy than they would any of the candidates they've got running right now. Hey, folks, these figures don't lie. Those are the facts. And Sammy proved it last night. I sat there. I watched that video several times because it is absolutely hilarious. And it was serious. I mean, this wasn't a setup. So, good job, Sam. Thought that was absolutely just very, very impressive. Coming up to the top of the hour news here in just a minute or two. I got this note from the DNCC. Great big press release and everything, and they're not going to like it that I said this, but the Democratic National Convention Committee today announced that 4 seasoned professionals from the entertainment industry will help craft the overall look, sound, and execution of the convention program, including the stage, the podium design for the 2008 Democratic National Convention to be held August 25th, 28th in Denver. Yes. Hired these hotshots, and they go on to tell us that Bruce Rogers, a production designer, and Lisa Gears, a line producer, veterans of all these type of events, and what else we got here. Bob Dickinson, lighting designer, tells of all his awards he's gotten, and Pat Batzel, audio designer, 25 years experience, and all that. The Democratic National Convention Committee, the official arm of the Democratic National Committee, they send this out, telling us about all this big production deal they're going to have for the stage and the podium. I read this and I thought, well, you know, that's nice. That's nice. But to me, it's kind of like going to a fancy restaurant. You know, you can present the most beautiful crystal and china and silver place settings in the entire universe, but if you serve me a lousy meal, I'm not coming back. And while I think it is admirable that they want the hall to look nice and all that, A, it's the meat and taters, folks, that really matters. It's the platform. It's the candidates. That's what really matters. Have everybody up there doing their very best. Make sure we get the meat and taters. That's what we want. I don't care about the packaging. I really don't. I'm one of those people. Don't have the head chef play with my food. Don't have him pretty it up and stand it up with little twigs on and stuff like people do. Give me the meat and taters. I'm interested in the food and the quality of the food. I'm not interested in the presentation whatsoever. I'm looking for substance. That's what I'm looking for. And I know most Democratic voters are as well. So if you want those Republicans to do all this fol-de-rol about, you know, having everything just perfect up on the stage, well, that's fine. That's okay. I know presentation is some of it, but we want body and substance. That's what we're looking for. Hey, we're coming up to the top of the hour and the news, and we hope you'll stay tuned throughout all that. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director, by the way. Thank you, Billy. We're going to pause for news, and we'll be right back. Stay where you are.
by the International News Net.
Two men, an Australian and a Briton, have been taken hostage and tied to the radar mast of a Japanese whaling vessel in the Southern Ocean. The two are with a group monitoring Japan's whaling fleet. Europe has become the world's largest market for fish, worth more than $22 billion a year. Some 50% of the fish sold in the EU originates in developing nations, and much of it is caught and shipped illegally. The Nigerian government is seeking $44 billion in compensation for the cost of treating smoking-related diseases. The tobacco firms are also accused of trying to promote smoking among young Nigerians. Fujita Yukihisa, a member of Japan's House of Councillors, equivalent to the U.S. Senate, has questioned on live television the official version of 9/11. In testimony broadcast on NHK, Japan's government-run network, Fujita said, "On September 6, 7, and 8, 2001, there were put options put on the stocks of the two airlines, United and American, that were hit by hijackers. There were also put options on Merrill Lynch, one of the biggest World Trade Center tenants. In other words, somebody had insider information and made a fortune selling put options of those stocks." Fujita said, "The head of Germany's Bundesbank, equivalent to the governor of the Bank of Japan, said there was lots of suspicious trading involving financial companies, etc., prior to the attacks." Fujita asked, "Did the government of Japan know about this?" A UK ecology expert claims the bubonic plague, which killed millions of people in medieval Europe, is making a return. Research by Professor Michael Begon at the University of Liverpool revealed the deadly disease, also known as the Black Death, has re-emerged. It has killed 200 people since 1998, and Begon says the threat is growing in Africa and the US. The plague is caused by infected fleas carried by rats and spreads easily. Begon says most cases have been in Africa, but there have also been up to 20 victims a year in the US. The disease, which can kill within days if not treated with antibiotics, is increasingly being passed by rodents to humans and is almost impossible to wipe out. Begon says, quote, "You can't realistically get rid of all rodents in the world. Symptoms are black bumps, severe vomiting, and high fever."
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Now, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here on the Horn Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
As time goes by.
Six, five,
four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad you stayed with us during the news. How about calling your neighbors, telling them to tune in as well, huh? 866-546-5254. We're going to have a few minutes of Republican love coming up in a few minutes. So be sure and let everybody know that we're going to have that. We get love letters from our Republican friends. A few of them might be libertarians. They don't actually say they're Republicans all the time. So, in fact, I'm not sure. I don't know how many of them say they're actually Republicans. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to hear from them coming up here in just a few moments. And if you'd like to call us, 866-546-5254. And right now, let's go to the phones. And I think we got Sandra on the phone. Hi.
Hey, Guy. Anyway, I wasn't going to call, but I couldn't resist because you were talking about Tim Russert.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Remember when Scooter Libby was on trial and they called that bastard to the stand, what he said?
Oh, yeah.
He said that he would only, when he talks to these people in high places, they know when they talk to him that it's off the record unless they say it's okay to him. I mean, he just said that without even realizing what came out of his mouth, that he's just a stenographer, right?
That's right. He's there to do their bidding.
And he's so disgusting. Did you hear what he said after the debate last night?
I might not have taken note of what you're talking about.
No, he said it's time to, you know, he was talking about whatever, Obama and Hillary, but he said it's time to move on to more substantial issues than race. I mean, at least he's honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't even think these people realize, because they you know, they talk so much and think so highly of themselves, what the hell they're saying. But, you know, he just showed his true colors right there. And I understand what he was trying to say. But these people are so stupid. I mean, they never glob onto anything of interest. It's just hair coloring and whatever fights they can get the candidates in. It's just, all of it's really disgusting. But I'm also really disturbed by the Dennis Kucinich thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much because he's, you know, viable or not, but why is it now that these corporations are able to decide who, with the help of the courts, who we hear now? I mean, I think that's the most troubling aspect of it.
It is. It is. I feel bad for Dennis, and while I've felt that, you know, and as I've talked about 100 times on the show, I endorsed Dennis in the last election. I love Dennis. I know him. I've spent a good deal of time with him. I think he's got great ideas for America. He is not electable right now. He hasn't had the money raised that he needs, and let's face it, it's a sad fact that you got to have, as I just talked to, buku bucks to run for president anymore. And Dennis is a bit eccentric. He knows that.
No, I understand that, but I mean, I do. I'm just sort of more. It's just I like how the courts and the state and the corporations are all in tandem now to take care of whatever they want to do. And, you know, I'm with you. You know, I wouldn't listen to your show unless I was concerned, like you said, you know. But I do have to say that I'm really sort of, you just want to sometimes just run away from all this mess, because it really is seem to be stacked against your sort of average Joe.
Oh, like it is.
Myself, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, you know, looking at my passport, thinking about my other options, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I want to stay and fight, but I have to say I get demoralized really kind of daily.
You ought to sit in my chair and have to do prepare a show every day and try and remain somewhat positive about it. It's difficult, and not that it isn't difficult for everybody, but, you know, it's almost as though we wish we could close our eyes and fast forward to November 4th. And see who's going to get it, and then jump from there to January 20th at the swearing-in ceremony, and they say, okay, now roll up your sleeves and get down to brass tacks.
Exactly. I mean, I just shudder because you have to keep aware, because there's no reason to think that another, you know, Republican wouldn't slip in if the Democrats aren't careful, and this country really can't afford any more years of another Republican in the White House, just on the basis of the Supreme Court, because them old people are trying to hang on, but they're not going to last. Like, you know, Stevens, he's 85, and Ginsburg, she's dealing with health issues. I know they want to go. You know what I mean?
Well,
if there's another Republican, they're just going to die and get replaced. And if they get the Supreme Court one more time, I don't know what to think. I have little nieces I'm concerned about, you know?
Well, it's one of the facets of this whole thing that a lot of average Joes forget about is the Supreme Court.
I think they don't even think about it.
It's probably the most important thing that any president does, and if one of them does go this year and Bush gets to appoint another one, it's going to be like, oh, my God, it's going to be with us for like 30 years.
Right, and that's all they need is one more.
That's right.
Completely tip it to... You know, notches unknown. It doesn't matter how progressive the country gets. If you have the court and the other branches stacked against the people like they're becoming, well, you know, I don't know what we're going to be looking towards. But we cannot have another Roberts or Alito.
No,
I mean, those
not.
Two are just. I think Alito is even more disgusting.
Yes,
and you know, that's my main reason for sticking with it, because I don't want to see the courts get stacked that way.
Well, at least this time, if we get a Democrat in, of course, the thing is, we have to worry about between now and the election. Once we get a Democrat in, we're not going to have to worry about that for a while, I think, because we're going to have a more solid majority in the House and the Senate.
I know. You're thinking if someone drops off between now and November.
Yeah, I'm scared to death. Every day I read the paper first thing in the morning to see if the Supreme Court's still all there.
And you think that the leadership is so weak among the Democrats that he would still be able to put someone on?
Yeah, I do.
Oh yeah.
Do I? Absolutely,
oh,
I do.
God.
You're giving those guys way too much credit.
Oh, God, because I wasn't even thinking of that. I was just thinking of those poor people trying to.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. When have you seen them stand, dig in, and fight? When?
Never.
Yeah, and so you don't think for a moment they're going to start now, do you? I mean, we'll have Harry Reid standing up in front of the microphone once again and say, well, you know, we've got to pick our fights.
You know what? I don't mean to rag on that Harry Reid, but how about Chris Dodd for the Senate leader or something? I mean...
I'd be very, very happy to see the leadership in the Senate change. Very happy.
I would like to think that after November, I have a feeling that it will change. We can't be the only people unhappy with the leadership of Mr. Reid.
Oh, no. There's talk. Believe me. Inside the Beltway, don't you worry. There's talk. It's not like all the Democrats are walking around the halls of Congress going, oh, gee, we're really happy with Harry Reid, because they're not.
And also, gender is very overrated, and I would like to see Miss Pelosi, you know, take a powder.
Well, who knows? I think she's in to stay for as long as she wants. That's the talk I hear. But you know, I could be happier with that situation as well.
Whatever. Right? Maybe she's not able to function because of her. But they seem to run around her nonstop. The Republicans.
Yeah, they do. Oh yeah.
They just play her all the time. But well, anyway, guy, I just wanted to get that out about Russet, because I find him parasitical and just insipid.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear other people feel the same way, at least.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ah, yes. Seems that people agree on Timmy. Timmy Russert. Don't like the guy. You know, I promised you. I did. I promised you a few minutes of Republican love. And it's that time. We turn the lights down in the studio. We gather our thoughts. And we gather up some of the wonderful letters that we received and emails from, well, from Republicans. And so we call it, very affectionately and very respectfully, a few minutes of Republican love. Guy James, I heard your damn pathetic show where you trashed Mitt Romney. And man, I gotta say, you're a real piece of work. Mitt is a good, decent, God-fearing man, and just because he doesn't pray to the same God you do, if you pray at all, doesn't mean he isn't a Christian. Mormons, spelled M-O-R-M-A-N-S, are Christians too, and just because some of them once upon a time had a couple of extra wives doesn't mean they're bad. Times were tough then, and lots of help was needed around the house while the man of the house went out and worked so he and his wives and kids could have something to eat and pay their bills. I've seen just how many people made fun of these, and I do want to mention here, I'll say it the way it's spelled, polymignonist. I think he meant to say polygamist. P-O-L-Y-M-I-G. I-N-I-S-T, polymignonist, that's something new. I've seen how these people made fun of these polymignonists and people, and it makes me sick. Just because a man has more than one wife doesn't mean he doesn't love them all the way they should be loved. In fact, some of those women are very lucky to have a man at all, and the women getting married very young isn't bad either. That's right, you said the women getting married isn't bad either, because that is when they are the best and can have the healthiest kids rather than when they get old and a little broken down. People try and make it a sex thing that these people had more than one woman in the house. I don't think that's true at all. Sex is sex no matter if you have it with one woman or a dozen. And it all boils down to intercourse between a man and a woman. So what if there is more than one woman involved? Most women don't want so much sex anyway, so it gives them a chance to rest once in a while. I was almost going to be a Mormon when I was younger, but I decided not to because I've never had anybody to teach me a lot of it. I know most of what I know because of reading a lot. Anyway, I know that Mitt Romney is a good, decent man, and I don't care if he has 20 wives, he still wouldn't be doing sex things with other women in the White House. That's from Jeremy from Casper, Wyoming. Thank you, Jeremy. Very thoughtful. Next letter. Mr. James, don't you think it's time to suspend your little tirades against Mayor Giuliani? Yes, he does say 9/11 once in a while. But don't you think that since he lived through every moment of it and risked his own life to make sure others were taken care of, that he deserves to mention it now and then? You really do overdo it when you say he says it in every sentence. He's merely pointing out the fact that Americans should always be diligent against terrorists. That's all. It's from Alita. Next letter. Mr. Hotshot Liberal, spelled R-U-L. Can you do even one show without cutting down the South? Well, I'll admit, I've been guilty of that one. He goes on to say, the one this week when you were making fun of men in their pickup trucks made me want to puke. Sure, a lot of us drive pickup trucks. We work, you fool. We need pickup trucks. The thing I was wondering about the pickup trucks, do you need them to sit 5 feet off the ground so you can drive to your job at Walmart? That's all I'm saying, okay? And he goes on to say, this is from David from Clemson, South Carolina, by the way. As for the Confederate flag, I think it's time for you to wise up, man. We love that flag. It's the flag of our forefathers. It's the flag we fought for. It means... How old are you, David, anyway, if you fought for that flag? He goes on to say, it's the flag we fought for. It means something special to us. Yeah, I'll bet it does. It means you willingly dropped out of the Union and condoned slavery and fought to save it. That's what I mean. And anyway, he goes on to say, and I hope that when I die, I'll have one draped over my casket. Yeah, you and Robert E. Lee. David from South Carolina. Next letter. Dear Mr. James, well, we're off to a good start right there. Now, you can tell that this letter is going to be nice, and it's going to be one that, you know, some really nice Republican wrote. That they disagree, but they're still respectful towards you. I like that kind. Dear Mr. James, why don't you do us all a favor and go down to your local gun store and buy a nice new 38 and blow your brains out? Just stick the gun in your mouth, point it upwards, and click. Honest, it won't hurt a bit. And you'll be doing your fellow man a big favor. And don't worry about the world anymore. Believe me, the world will be far better off without your sorry ass. That's from JT. Thank you, JT. Very clever. Let's see, we got one more, two more here. Mr. Smartass Radio Host. So, we shouldn't say anything about a, and he uses the N-word here, running for president. You don't think that is anything to worry about? Tell me, Mr. Big Mouth, when is the last time you saw a bunch of white people looting a store? Remember Katrina? When's the last time... You saw white people burning down their own neighborhood because they were upset. Remember Watts? Not worried about the N-word, in the White House? You can't be serious, man. That's from Lou from Cape Coral, Florida, I might have known. Well, Lou, it appears to me there are millions of people who disagree with you. There are millions of people who think Barack Obama might well end up being president, and I think that would be a good thing. And I wanted to also mention to you, Lou, when's the last time you remember a white neighborhood being flooded and no one coming to the people's aid? When's the last time you saw hundreds of people trapped in their homes without food or water and the government sat by and watched? And as for the Watts riot, while I don't approve of rioting and looting, I think you'd better consult your history books to see if there hadn't been some rioting by white folks in New York City a few decades back. Seems that Lou thinks the actions of a few disqualify Barack Obama from being president. You know, you need to grow up, Lou. You need to remember people being dragged behind pickup trucks. You need to remember lynchings in the South. Need to remember some of that stuff. And there you have it. A few minutes of, I think, very good Republican love today. Some of you folks have outdone yourselves. Keep those cards and letters coming. And we'll keep reading. I promise, we will. Well, we're going to pause for a Where did that come from? Who played that? Who did that? We're going to pause for a quick break right now, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
All this month at Cheney's, it's the War Fest Breakfast. A delicious combo of Cheney's favorites, including 3 strips of sizzling Guantanamo bacon, 2 eggs served sunny side up yours, hash brown shirts fried to Aryan perfection, oil-drenched terrorist links, and you won't need a warrant for these waffles. So come with an appetite for weapons of mass destruction and leave quagmired in satisfaction. Eat at Cheney's. Don't torture yourself.
Anyone who ever loved could look at me. seemed to me that my life ran on too fast, and I had to take it slowly just to make the good parts last. When you're born to run, it's so hard to just slow down. So don't be surprised to see me in the brighter part of town. And I'll be back in my high life again. All the doors I closed one time will open up again. I'll be back in the high life again. All the eyes that watched me once will smile and take me in. I'll drink and dance with one hand free. Let the world back into me. Oh, I'll be a sight to see. Back in the highlight again. Used to be the best thing life really made. And I hope you're still out there like you used to be. Have ourselves a time, we'll dance till the morning sun. But if the good times come, we won't stop until we're done. And we're back in the high life again. All the doors I closed one time will open up again. They'll be back in the high again. All the eyes that watched us once will smile and take us in. And we'll drink and dance with one hand free. Have the world so easily. Oh, we'll be a sight to see. Back in the high, we'll be back in the high again. All the doors I closed one time will open up again. We'll be back in the high life again. All the eyes that watched us once will smile and take us in. Back in the high life.
Hey, thanks for joining us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. Just checking out the stock market. It looked like it closed down 55 points today. Don't know what gold ended up being today. Not that I have any. I don't know why I'm fascinated with that. I guess I do. I have a friend that is involved in the gold market, so I always notice what it is every day. I'm pretty sure it ended up probably under $900 today. It ended up over it yesterday. You knew this was going to come. A couple of items I wanted to tell you before I get on with everything else I wanted to talk about today. You just knew this was coming. An effort is launched to draft Lou Dobbs as the presidential candidate. Yes, it is a fact that the Americans for Legal Immigration Political Action Committee, ALIPAC, Lou Dobbs for president, said 90% of our supporters are behind either Romney, Thompson, Paul, or Hunter for president because they appear truly opposed to amnesty for illegal aliens, says William Gein of ALIPAC. 84% of our supporters say they would support Lou Dobbs for president if the GOP primary fails to yield a candidate opposed to amnesty. Now, I think we all know that every single night you can tune in, what is it, at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I don't know what time it is, on CNN and hear the broken record of Lou Dobbs every single night talking about, well, my God, this illegal immigration, it's taking our country down the tubes every night. And he gets rather animated about the whole thing. But here we have the group, the Americans for Legal Immigration PAC. Lou Dobbs for president, and lest you think I'm joshing you, you can go to loudobbsforpresident.org and check it out. And I know thousands of you will want to. Loudobbsforpresident.org. I can hear those keyboards whirling away right now. You're all going there. You're wanting to get in more information on how you can help support Lou Dobbs, Dobbs for president. And, you know, the economy being a big thing in this upcoming election, I know the Republicans don't want to think it is. They don't want to admit that it is. They don't want to admit that their beloved Junior Bush, whom probably every one of our Republican love writers today voted for, not once but twice. Doesn't it always get you when you run across somebody who says, yeah, I voted for him twice. I won't vote for him again, but I voted for him twice. You're thinking, well, wait a minute. I can understand, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I can understand you saying, you know, I don't think Bush is doing a very good job. I'm a Republican. I don't think he's doing that good of a job. I voted for him the first time, but I didn't vote for him the second time. You know, that's what you might expect to hear. But when you hear one of them say, you know, I don't think Bush is doing a very good job, but I voted for him twice, you're thinking, what the hell's wrong with you? Did you not know after the first term what this clown was doing to the country? You didn't know then? I don't know. I always wonder about those people. I do. Man, oh man, oh man. Well, anyway, we constantly hear the Republicans talking about trying to hide the fact that we've got a pretty tough economy on our hands right now. And topping Congress's agenda as it returns this week is a plan to, quote, jumpstart the economy and try to shorten the slowdown that many economists say has already begun to take hold. And today, Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia, the chief deputy Republican whip in the House, unveiled his proposal to stimulate the economy. His legislation, the so-called Middle Class Job Protection Act, that's MCJPA, does nothing for the middle class. Instead, it reduces the corporate tax rate by 25%. Man, couldn't you just count on that if it's a Republican putting that forth. At a press conference today unveiling the stimulus proposal, we haven't gotten to the good part of this yet, Republican Michelle Bachmann, Republican of Minnesota, justified the conservative plan to give tax breaks to the corporation instead of working Americans by arguing, and I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth here right now, by arguing, this is Michelle Bachmann, Republican of Minnesota, by arguing that people actually like working long hours. And let me quote Michelle Bachmann, Republican of Minnesota. She said, I am so proud to be from the state of Minnesota, where the workingest state in the country, and the reason why we are, we have more people that are working longer hours, we have people that are working two jobs. Well, now, isn't that just precious? She is damn proud of the fact that they're the workingest people in the country. They're working longer hours, and they have to work two jobs. I wonder if she'll get reelected. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Wow. Just incredible. I did want to tell you about a couple of things. First of all, maybe the most offended I've ever been hearing anything on another talk show, and that's saying something, because with the likes of Mark Levin and Michael Savage and Michael Gallagher and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and a host of others, with all them on, you can't go by a day and not get highly offended. But Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, a guy that it just mystifies me that he's on the air. It really does. Mystifies me. He said this yesterday.
I have to tell you, I said on my radio show today, I'm beginning to come to a place where I love my grandfather, but I just want to slap him across the face for liking FDR. I think that was one evil son of a bitch.
Well, he certainly left us the bill.
One evil son of a bitch, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Glenn Beck wants to slap his grandfather across the face for liking FBI. Let me, in case you didn't hear it right the first time.
I have to tell you, I said on my radio show today, I'm beginning to come to a place where I love my grandfather, but I just want to slap him across the face for liking FDR. I think that was one evil son of a bitch.
Well, he certainly left us the bills, no doubt.
Left us the bills. Here's a Republican talking about leaving us the bills when we've got this war going on and going to leave bills for as far into the future as we could possibly see. Absolutely fascinating that these people, they're psychotic. Wow. You know, I've commented on the huckster Huckabee, the greatest phony of all time to run for the Oval Office, and we've had some good ones, even some great phonies who won the Oval Office. Bush. And Reagan, but I digress. It's finally clear to me that Huckabee is the absolute dream candidate for the evangelicals. And if you don't believe that, just listen to these words from the huckster himself.
Well, we've also, Joe, Mike Huckabee, a soundbite you wanted to hear, I know. He was speaking yesterday about human life and the definition of marriage.
Right.
Mika, I want you to listen because I think you'll appreciate the way.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's brace ourselves. Do we have seat belts? Because after Mika hears this, we're going to be going for a ride. It's going to. Let's talk about God and the Constitution.
Joe Scarborough talking.
Governor Mike Huckabee
here
yesterday.
Here we go.
I have opponents in this race who do not want to change the Constitution. But I believe it's a lot easier to change the Constitution than it would be to change the Word of the living God. And that's what we need to do, is to amend the Constitution so it's in God's standards rather than try to change God's standards so it lines up with some contemporary view of how we treat each other and how we treat the family.
Yes. Interesting. And I think we should comment on it.
Just this is Joe Scarborough talking.
Friend. Mike Huckabee is our friend. And I have always been the first guy to say that evangelicals should be able to talk politics, just like liberals should be able to go into churches and talk politics. I will say that some might find that statement very troubling, that we are going to change the Constitution to be in line with the Bible. And that's all I'm going to say.
A little bit troubling. A little bit troubling. We are going to change the Constitution to bring it in line with the Bible, says Huckabee. Do remember, these are words coming from a major candidate from a major political party in the United States of America. These are words coming from a man that won the Iowa caucuses. These are the words coming from a man that many Republicans are backing, that he wants to bring the Constitution of the United States in line with the Bible. In about 30 seconds there, Huckabee, the huckster, the funny, engaging, friendly guy that he is, states a very clear, and he's speaking in front of an evangelical audience, he states a very clear, concise case for an absolute theocracy in this nation. Let's scrap the Constitution and rule the country with biblical law. out of the mouth of a major candidate of the Republican Party. Yesterday, the old eye for an eye, smite this and smite this, the jawbone of an ass, and revelations and all that. We can forget this nonsense of a Constitution that's mostly worked for a couple of 100 years and turn the whole deal over to the Baptist preachers who make sure that the country stays on the state straight and narrow from now on. Come on now. We've all known that this separation of church and state stuff was highly suspect in the first place, right? And that freedom to worship how you please or not at all, that's blasphemy if you ask me. We need everyone bowing down on altars of Baptist churches everywhere. Let's cut the crap and let's get down to the basic. There is no separation of church and state because there will be no state anymore, just church, if it's up to Mike Huckabee and the Republicans. And really, this will simplify things quite a bit because our soldiers over in Iraq can get rid of those camos they're wearing and get some medieval costumes worn by the Crusaders and show this Iraqi who's the boss now. They've got Jesus on their side. And Huck can see to it that all the churches except the Baptist and maybe a few Pentecostals will be burned to the ground. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the light already. I think that's the most astonishing statement I've ever heard a politician in the United States of America say. At least a mainstream politician. You know, this might even help the energy crisis. Think of the millions of books that we could get burned now. Think about how much heating oil that will save. And they could use the mosque and the synagogues. They could use them for jails for all those heathens rounded up because they aren't of the right religious persuasion. I think all of you Huckabee fans, I think it's time to face the fact that Huck is either the second coming or he's even crazier than Ron Paul, and that is saying something. Don't know that I've heard anything more far-fetched than that ever coming on. I may have repeated myself there, but when I heard that, I thought certainly that'll be the death knell for the Huckster's campaign. And then I read reports that say, well, you know, the evangelicals, they really like that. Well, I guess they did. So we shall find out how much the evangelicals liked it, and we shall find out how much fear we should have in our hearts over this whole situation come the South Carolina primary, because the Huckster's supposed to do right well there. And it wouldn't surprise me even a little bit if he did. Not even a little bit. My. Leading candidate for the presidency of the United States on the Republican ticket. Huckabee. Got to get rid of this Constitution. Or else rewrite it. We'll make it more like the Bible. Thank you, Huck. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Hey, and this little story that came in yesterday, I didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but I certainly did want to mention it. It seems like the good folks over in Iraq, you know, where we're having all that success right now, where the surge is working so very well. General Petraeus has got that place almost completely under control. By the way, I saw just a few minutes that a couple more American soldiers died. Iraqi officials are divided on when their security forces will actually be able to secure the country. Just yesterday, two Iraqi officials gave two entirely, and I mean entirely, different reports. One of them, Iraqi government spokesman Ali Dabagh, said Iraqi forces would be ready to take over security responsibility for all 18 provinces by the end of 2008. That's an Iraqi government spokesman. Ready to take over all 18 provinces by the end of 2008. Put it up against this statement by the Iraqi defense minister, the man in charge of the security forces in all 18 provinces in Iraq. He says, this is the Iraq defense minister, said that his nation would not be able to take full responsibility for its internal security until 2012, nor be able on its own to defend Iraq's borders from external threat until at least 2018. Yeah. Things going real good in Iraq. That surge is working very, very well. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We're going to pause for a break for just a moment, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. You can give us a call, you know, 866-546-5254. Got some more to talk about Mr. Huckleberry. And I got to stop calling him that. I actually sometimes have myself thinking that's really his name. Might as well be. Anyway, let's head on over to the phones. Hi, this is, who are we talking to?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I'm John. I'm from Boston.
Yeah, John, how you doing?
Okay. I used to live in South Florida. I used to listen to quite a bit, guy. I was very impressed with the program. But that's before, I guess it was Wink Radio kicked you off the air.
That's right. Good old Wink. your program does not meet the needs of our conservative audience.
Is that what their excuse was?
Yes.
I thought they were just a bunch of narrow-minded bastards, actually. But anyway, that's beside the point. I called mainly just, I know I only have a few seconds, the debate last night or whatever the heck they want to call that thing.
Yeah.
And I think that the three people up there are extraordinarily gifted, no doubt about it. Unfortunately, because Dennis Kucinich wasn't there, the public wheel didn't get a rounded view. I mean, to take each one of them, John Edwards is extremely talented. This guy's taking corporations and shoving them up to you-know-what. Hillary Clinton is a brilliant woman. And Barack Obama, second to Demosthenes with his oratorial skills. Unfortunately, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton don't say a whole heck of a lot. I think Edwards hints toward it. Only Dennis is the only one who has kicked the parasites out of the health insurance industry, namely the insurance companies off the... I'm calling on a cell phone. I'll probably break up a little. Sorry about that.
You're doing fine.
Okay. And his notion to end the war, which is to get out of there, you know, whatever time is consistent with the safety of the troops, who may have to take a few Iraqis with us, who knows, close the embassies, leave everything alone, get the hell out of there and come on home, and possibly begin some sort of program toward energy independence. Now, unless that's heard over and over again by the listening public, it'll never get through. And they, you know what they've done to poor Dennis? I mean, the guy's a brilliant man. He really is. He doesn't have the oratorical skills of Barack Obama, but he nails it right
well, on. Well, few people do have the oratorical skills, but, you know, we've heard some great speakers who are bums, so I don't put all my stock in that, you know. You're right about Dennis. I completely agree. It's one of those things. How do you explain it? I know the corporate world doesn't want him on. There can be little doubt about that. He doesn't.
Well, they're afraid of him, guy.
I think they are, but they're not seriously afraid of him because they know there's been a great campaign to keep him out of the debates, and they know he's not going to get elected, and they feel he's not electable. So I don't think they're that afraid of him anymore. I think they're afraid of his ideas. That's for sure.
Right. They've made him not electable. They've marginalized him. They've trivialized him. They've insulted him. What was that stupid question that Pigface there, Russ, had asked him the last name he was on about? I guess it's his aunt, Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
The UFO thing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say for conversation's sake that he had all the moxie of Barack Obama and the great speaking ability and, you know, the charisma and everything else that Barack Obama has. And let's say Barack Obama was espousing the same exact ideas that Dennis Kucinich does. Do you think they would do the same thing to Dennis Kucinich? I mean, to Barack Obama?
Yeah, I think they would.
It doesn't matter who it is, do they? They do
exactly.
A number on
it. It's a message. They don't want that message to get out there because, in spite of what a lot of people think, we probably... maybe we do. Maybe we have the dumbest electorate in the Western world. I have no idea. But,
I think they're right in there for that honor. I think they are. Who was it? Stalin? I think I could be wrong in this, but Stalin, of course, we're talking about the whole world here, but I think it was Stalin said never underestimate the stupidity of the masses, and there's some truth to that, I think.
There's a lot of truth to it, but, you know, if the message ever got out, it would have to get out over and over again. If it just gets out once or twice, because it has actually gotten out once or twice with Dennis, but if it got out over and over and over again, it might finally sink into people, hey, my God, we're voting for the wrong people. You know, this government belongs to the people. What on earth is the government for? It's here to serve the people. It's not here to serve the corporations, the corporate interests, or our, you know, our politicians. I mean, I'm so sick of these people.
Oh, the
they're morally bankrupt.
I think the fathers started recognizing that government started serving corporate masters almost a couple hundred years ago, and they did everything they could to fight against it, but it's creeped back into the system, and like Eisenhower said, the military-industrial complex, they've got power they should never have. Hey, I got to run. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for your call. It's really great to hear from you.
Thank you for your service, guys.
Thank you very, very much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we are coming up to the top of the hour. Where does the time go when we're having our little get-togethers here in the afternoon from 3 to 5? I don't know. It seems to go by pretty fast, and today's one of those days where you just kind of zip by very, very fast. Didn't get even close to done talking about things I want to talk about. We'll finish up our thoughts tomorrow. Just hold that thought for about 22 hours, and we'll be back tomorrow. Here on the Head On Radio Network with the Guy James Show. Billy Shears, music director. Great tunes today, Billy. Want to thank you for being with us here on the Guy James Show today. Please visit our new blog, theguyjamesshow.com/blog. You might find it interesting, and you may want to leave a comment. I wish you would. And don't forget, we're a listener-supported program, theguyjamesshow.com. Thanks for listening, folks, and don't forget you've heard from